أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقال أيضا: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه. صلوات. We were discussing the subject of حق and باطل. In the previous lecture, I told you about the lub and the qishr of the religion Islam. The inner core, which is called the lub by our Urafa, and the outer layer, which is called the qishr. And we discussed in some detail about the inner core in the light of the verse of the Holy Quran from Surah An-Nur, verse 35, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, Allah is the light of the heavens and earth. Mathalu nurihi kamishkatin fiha misbahun al misbahu fi zujajatin al zujajatu ka annaha kawkabun durriyun. After discussing the concept of the lub and qishr, the inner core and the outer layer of the religion, I also told you that all the teachings of Islam, the religion in its full detail, is considered to be the nur, and the sharia and the ahkam of the sharia, which were revealed upon the soul of the Holy Prophet, the do's and do nots of the religion, this sharaf and minhaj is considered to be the outer layer of the core. Through the passage of time, as various messengers were sent according to the needs of those days and those places, the outer layer of the religion kept on changing. So the ahkam of the sharia and the minhaj was varying, but the inner core never changed and will never change and is never there to be changed. And the process was the same ibadat, which will result in the ma'rifat, and will person to understand the ilm and qudrat of Allah, what we learn in the light of Surah At-Talaq, verse number 12. So we are supposed to understand and learn about the ilm, the absolute knowledge, and the qudrat, the absolute power of Allah. And with all that ma'rifat included, and when we continue to practice, finally, it will take us to the realm of Noor and divine light, where we will become illuminated by the divine Noor. And when everyone becomes Noorani, when those people will become Noorani, they would have already reached their destination. There's nothing beyond that. And when one becomes Noorani, then this person can achieve everything what he wants to achieve, which is the Kamal, the perfection. So the people in the paradise can do whatever and achieve whatever by just saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can achieve and perform whatever he wishes by just saying kun and be. So after understanding the concept of the lub and qishr, I promised you to talk about, finally at the end of this series of lectures, about the signs of shaitan penetrating into the aql and intellect of a person, and the signs of shaitan overwhelming the intellect. There are four signs which our scholars have mentioned. The first one is the ujb. In Farsi and Urdu we say khudpasandi. In Arabic we say ujb. Considering yourself to be good, no further improvement is required. If somebody ends up in this spiritual illness that he or she considers himself to be so good, I'm so good, nothing wrong with me, there's no further improvement required in my spirituality. This situation, this feeling, this thought, this idea in your mind is the worst of all the illnesses, because everything else which damages the aql follows after it. So this is the beginning and the key to all the later problems. We have hadith from Amir al-Mu'mini alayhi salam saying, اعجاب المرء بنفسه دليل على ضعف عقله. And if you remember, we discussed there are two ways to distinguish haqq from the batil. First is aql, and the second is the wahi. There's no third way how you can distinguish haqq from the batil. So in order for a person to be successfully able to distinguish haqq from batil at every intersection of his life, he should have his aql in place and strong, without the pile of desires covering up the capacity of this aql and the powers of the aql. So when a person, Imam Ali says, اعجاب المرء بنفسه, when a person, in other words, when a person considers himself to be good, feels good, that there's nothing wrong with me, I don't need any improvement, I am a very nice person. This kind of person who is going through this illness of ujb and khudpasandi, considering himself to be good beyond any improvement, dalilun ala dha'fi aqlihi, is a sign that his aql is weak. So the more you get the feeling, the more you consider yourself to be nice and great and superior, the weaker your aql would be. And those people who have the highest stages of ujb, and these things that I'm saying is not in the hadith, you know, I'm explaining to you. those who have the higher stages of ujb and khudpasandi and considering themselves to be good, they will be on the highest, most weakest aql. They will be having the most weakest of the aql. So in the story of Prophet Musa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, we find that Allama Majlisi has narrated that bainama Musa jalis iz aqbala iblis wa alayhi burnas dhu alwanin fa wada'ahu wa dana min Musa wa sallama fa qala lahu Musa man anta. Once upon a time, Prophet Musa was sitting, Iblis came forward wearing a colorful hat of several colors, came close to Prophet Musa, dana min Musa wa sallama, and said salam. Prophet Musa did not reply back to the salam. We never reply back to the zalimeen and fasiqeen and kafirin, and you know, we don't reply back to them. So he didn't reply back. The narration never says that he ever replied back. Of course, no prophet can reply back a salam to him. Why in the world are we going to send Allah's peace on the person who is at the bottom of the hellfire? Does it make any sense? Who are we to send the peace from Allah's behalf upon whom Allah has already sent his wrath? And he is mal'oon and la'een and rajim and thrown out from the divine domain. So who are we to send the divine peace, you know, when Allah has already sent him at the bottom of the hell? So qala iblis, and he said, qala li iblis, Prophet Musa said to Iblis that la qarraballahu daraka, may Allah doesn't make your place close, so that means keep you away. And may Allah keep you away. And why are you wearing the cap? And he said, أَخْتَطِفُ قَالَ أَخْتَطِفُ بِهِ قُلُوبَ بَنِي آدَمَ. That's how I trap the souls of the children of Adam. Prophet Musa says, أَخْبِرْنِي, please pay attention, أَخْبِرْنِي بِالذَّنْبِ الَّذِي إِذَا أَذْنَبَهُ إِبْنُ آدَمَ إِسْتَحْوَزْتَ عَلَيْهِ. Inform me about a single sin, about a sin that if the son of Adam performs that sin, you will have your control over him. Now he no longer has his own control remaining. Now you are in charge of him for the rest of the time, in other words. So Iblis replied, ذَلِكَ إِذَا أَعْجَبَتْهُ نَفْسُهُ وَاسْتَكْسَرَ عَمَلَهُ. This happens when he considers himself to be good. He falls in the illness of ujb and khudpasandi. That's exactly what we are talking about. Ujb and khudpasandi, considering ourselves to be. If a human being falls into this trap, he considers himself to be good, falls in the trap of ujb, وَاسْتَكْسَرَ عَمَلَهُ, and he considers his actions to be a lot. I did a lot of good actions in my life. Oh, I'm a big guy already. There's nothing wrong with me. وَصَغُرَ فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَنْبُهُ, and his sin became small in his eyes. So if you consider your sin to be small and your good deeds to be a lot, and you end up considering yourself to be, a very nice person beyond improvement. This is now the sign that this is one single sin which is enough to give the control and charge of your affairs in the hands of Iblis. So Prophet وَقَالَ يَا مُوسَى, and look at now some of those things that Iblis is saying to Prophet Musa. يَا مُوسَى لَا تَخْلُو بِإِمْرَأَةٍ لَا تَحِلُّ لَكَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَخْلُو رَجُلٌ بِإِمْرَأَةٍ لَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ إِلَّا كُنْتُ صَحِبَهُ دُونَ أَصْحَابِ. O Musa, don't be in a lonely place with a woman which is not halal on you, Because if anybody is in a lonely place with a woman who is not halal for him, I will be his companion, not my companions. Satan has a lot of companions from jinns and humans. Shayateen al-jinn wal-ins. Shayateen al-jinn, lots of children. He has children from the humankind. Those humans who are obeying and blindly following the path of Shaitan day in and day out, they are children of Satan's. And those people who are among the jinns who are following him are also his children, considered to be his children. So his children, his ashab, his companions are not going to take this task as their assignment. Iblis himself will move forward and be a companion of this kind of guy, because now that's the prime time for Iblis to play his role to make him fall into the hell. Then he said to Prophet Musa, فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تُعَاهِدِ اللَّهَ أَن تُعَاهِدَ اللَّهَ أَحْدًا فَإِنَّهُ مَا عَاهَدَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا كُنْتُ صَاحِبَهُ دُونَ أَصْحَابِهِ حَتَّى أَحُولَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْوَفَاءِ بِهِ. Be warned, don't make a covenant. Ahad, Mithaq, Payman. In Farsi we say Payman. Covenant, Ahad. Don't make an Ahad and covenant and Mithaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you make it, if anybody makes a covenant with Allah, I will be his companion. That means Iblis is going to try his best to stop the guy from fulfilling his covenant and doing wafa and being faithful towards his covenant and ahad towards Allah, so that he falls short and does not fulfill his covenant and ahad with Allah. Iblis himself will be his companion, not the rest of his ashab and companions. He will take the assignment himself to block him. وَإِذَا هَمَمْتَ بِصَدَقَةٍ, and if you make an intention, if you want to give away a sadaqah, فَمْضِهَا, then that means just give it away. That means be quick. Whenever you guys make an intention of giving a sadaqah, be quick in giving the sadaqah. فَإِذَا هَمَّ الْعَبْدُ بِصَدَقَةٍ, whenever a person will make the intention of giving a sadaqah, kuntu sahibahu duna ashabi hatta ahula baynahu wa baynaha, I will be his companion, not my companions, that means not his followers. He himself will come forward and try to block this guy from giving away the sadaqah, so that of course so that's how Iblis operates. So the first thing to remember, which is the sign that our aql has become weak, is Iblis has taken charge of our life, is ujb and khudpasandi, and considering ourselves to be good beyond improvements. Second sign, our scholars say, to distinguish whether our aql and intellect is pure, unimpaired, untainted in its original form, without the control and penetration of Satan, is if a person starts doing nasihat to others and forgets his own self. But we should seek refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from landing in that. Anybody who starts giving nasihat to others at the car and forgets himself, that means if I say to you something that I myself, I'm not practicing. That's exactly what it is. This is the sign of the trap of Shaitan. This is the sign of the aql of a person getting under the control of Shaitan, under the nufuz and influence of Shaitan. Quran says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 44, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ. Do you command the people about good things, in other words, and forget yourselves? وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ, and you read the book. And despite the fact you are reading the book, you're reading Quran. So when we read Quran, we understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the bad deeds and how he likes the good deeds. So you are asking other people to do the good deeds, and you forget your own selves, and you read the book. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Don't you think? So this is a sign of the aql of a person getting weak when he starts to giving nasihat and advices to others, but he himself is involved and engaged in the similar kinds of things that he's stopping others from, but he forgets himself. So now our scholars say there are two types of these people. Some don't know, and some of them know. Those people who don't know about the qubh of the wrongs, don't know about this action is so bad in the eyes of Allah, these people are the ones which are called that they have the naqs in al-aqlun nazari, because aql and intellect and philosophy is divided into two categories. Al-aqlun nazari, the theoretical intellect, and al-aqlul amali, the practical intellect. There are a whole bunch of people in the community. You sit in a living room with them, they talk about very nice things. Because al-aqlun nazari, the theoretical intellect is there. They have the theoretical intellect. Practically, they are so behind. You sit in a gathering with them, they can talk very nice talk with you, because al-aqlul nazari, theoretical intellect is there, but al-aqlul amali, the practical intellect is missing. So those are the people who don't know that this action is bad. So they have a defect, they have a shortcoming, they have a shortfall in their theoretical intellect, because they fail to understand that this bad act is bad in the eyes of Allah. They still don't understand. Allah already sent his wahi and revelation, 124,000 prophets of God, you know, five of the greatest books, Quran being the final, Sharia, our Sharia of the Holy Prophet being the final. What are the green lines? What are the red lines? Everything has been told already. There's zero ambiguity, no gray area in Islam. So if we still don't understand what is qabih and what is condemned and what is bad in the eyes of Allah, this is certainly the lack of the theoretical intellect, al-aqlun nazari. And if a person understands that this thing is bad, rebirth and backbiting is bad, for instance. So theoretically he knows what is the ruling of rebirth and backbiting. But practically when it comes to rebirth, he simply can't control himself. So he knows the theoretical aspect, but the practical aspect is the one where we find the defect and the shortcoming. So this kind of person who knows about such and such thing is haram, how bad it is in the eyes of Allah, but practically he could not make a strong intention and strong steadfast on the path of Allah to abstain from the harams. This guy has a defect and a shortcoming in the practical intellect, al-aqlul amali. So basically, it is very clear that whenever any person starts doing nasihat to others, forgetting his own self, he must understand that shaitan has penetrated in his aql, and shaitan has basically overpowered his aql. So his aql is not practicing, not operating the way it is supposed to operate. It is now weak. It is under the influence, just like if you're driving under influence, the DUI. This guy is walking in the streets and the paths of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under influence. He is under the influence of shaitan, because he is now asking others to do the good but forgetting himself. And this behavior is extremely condemned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third sign of the human intellect getting under influence of shaitan and becoming weak, the aql becoming weak, is feeling happy over tamalluq of juhal. Well, may ask that why did I use the word jahal, the ignorance. Tamalluq means chaplosi, praising. If somebody comes and praises you on your face, this is another condemned practice in ilmul akhlaq and Islamic, the science of Islamic morality. We are not supposed to praise the people on their face. We are supposed to praise the people behind their backs. And when we come in face to face with each other, we are not supposed to praise each other. This is not right. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Man madahaka faqad zabahaka bisikin." Whoever praises you has slaughtered you with a knife. Sadaqa Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam. Certainly he said the truth. Somebody who praises me on my face is actually, in the real sense, slaughtering me. Because he is slaughtering my takamul, my spiritual advancement, because of his praise, I can possibly land in the domain of ujb and khudpasandi and start considering myself to be a nice guy. See, this guy came and he's praising me, so I am a big person. I am a nice guy. There's nothing wrong with me. I don't need improvements. Isn't that right? The same problem that we discussed earlier. So one praise can derail you from the track. So praising people on their faces is extremely condemned attribute in Islam. Imam Ali, let's go to Imam Ali alayhi salam and ask him. He says, "Laysa bi'aqilin." Such a beautiful statement. I really enjoy when I read this statement of Imam Ali, although all his statements are equally beautiful. He says, "Laysa bi'aqilin man inza'aja min qawli az-zuri fihi, wala bi'hakimin man radiya bi'thana'il jahili alayhi." So I use the word the tamalluq and chaplosi and praise of juhala intentionally, because the guy is also lacking the al-aql al-amal, the practical intellect, because if he comes and praises you on his face, it's your fault if you buy the praise, and end up in ujb condition, and it is his fault to ignore the Islamic rulings and teachings which are asking him not to praise the people on their faces. So he's ignoring the teachings of Ahlul Bayt not to praise the people on the faces. So he's also having, a lack of al-aql al-amali, the practical intellect, if not the theoretical intellect. If the theoretical intellect is also missing, then he's a bigger jahil, actually. He has double jahil. So Imam Ali says, "Laysa bi'aqilin man inza'aja min qawli az-zuri fihi." In other words, the person who gets upset, man inza'aja, who gets upset if somebody talks bad about him, is not an aqil. Let's suppose you are holding a position, you are whatever, you are the Speaker of the Parliament, you are a secretary, you are a treasurer, you are a president, you are whatever of any organization. And some people, or somebody comes, or a bunch of people come and they talk bad against you. You haven't done anything wrong towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your hisab and accountability with Allah is clear. So when our hisab is clear with Allah, we have nothing to worry about. We don't care about what the people say. We care about what Allah says. So if now a bunch of people come and they start talk bad about you inappropriately, they don't have the right to talk, but they are talking bad against you, and you get upset, this is a sign that you are lacking aqal. Because you are not supposed to become upset as long as Allah is pleased with you. And you are not doing none of your actions for the sake of the people. Anyway, to begin with, you're doing all of your actions for the sake of Allah. Isn't that right? Let the people say what they are saying. Who cares? If you become upset, then you are not an aqil. Because Imam Ali says, "Laysa bi'aqilin." And in this guy is not Aqil who becomes upset about the inappropriate statement of people about him. Some people saying things which is not ja'iz about you. You're not supposed to become upset. And then Imam Ali says, وَلَا بِحَكِيمٍ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِمَنْ رَضِيَ بِثَنَاءِ الْجَاهِلِ عَلَيْهِ. So in other words, if a jahil person comes and praises you, and you become pleased over his praise, that means you buy what he's saying about you. This is a sign, again, that you don't have the hikmah. You're not hakeem. This is a sign that the guy is lacking aql. So we are not supposed to be, feeling good about the praise of the people. I remember in the time of the war, when the war was at its peak, and there was a lot of pressure from various sides to accept the truce. And Imam Rizwanullah Alayhi's position was very, very clear. He said, Saddam is the aggressor. Aggressor must be condemned. We did not stop. We are defending. Our people are in his prison. Our land is under his control. Our cities are under his attack. Our civilians are killed by him. The aggressor needs to stop. We are defending. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. So his stance was very, very Quranic and clear. Now some people came into his house, in that rented house in Tehran, Jamaran, and said to him, and you know, as he used to come in that balcony, sit on the chair, deliver his speeches, his inspiring speeches, and people gathered outside in that area, ready to welcome him, waiting for him, chanting slogans. He's still inside his house. He didn't show up in the balcony, but people are sitting there waiting for him to arrive, to deliver a speech, chanting slogans in his favor. Mahle Kufa Nistim Imam Tanha Bemanad. We are not like the people of Kufa to leave our leader alone. You know, Khomeini Azizam Bogu Tahum Berizam. Oh, dear Khomeini, let us give us the hukum so we can give blood upon your hukum. People are chanting these kinds of slogans in Farsi. And he's still inside. And one person went, one dignified person went inside and met him before he appears and said to him that, is there a way you can rethink your policy towards the war? There are some people who are very upset. There are some people who are very much concerned. And he said, are you hearing the voices of the people who are waiting outside and what slogans they are chanting? The same slogans that I just translated to you. In the favor of Imam Khomeini. Imam said to him, are you listening to those slogans? If all these people start chanting slogans against me, and start talking bad against me, I will still not leave the course and the path that I'm treading, because whatever he's doing, he's not doing for the sake of the people. What he's doing for the sake of Allah. And this is the sign of Ahlul Yaqeen. Ahlul Yaqeen never bend on their principles and values that Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam have taught us. Ahlul Shak are the ones who always, because they don't know what they're doing. When you don't know what you're doing, please don't do nothing unless you know. That's what Ayatullah Luqman Behjat had said, which I paraphrase in my own words, that the duty of Ahlul Shak
is tawakkuf in Islam, to stay put, don't take a step forward. The wazifa, the fariza of Ahlul Yaqeen is taqaddum, taking a step forward. The duty of Ahlul Shak is not taqaddum. Those who have doubts, they don't have been given the right to take a single step forward. Unless they first convert their, first things first, unless they first convert their shak and doubt into yaqeen, and then they take the step forward based on yaqeen.
Because madhhab al-tashayyu' is the religion of yaqeen. Alhamdulillah. It's not the religion of shak and raib and irtiyab. Religion had been left in the hands of Ahl al-Shak, it would have been devastated long time ago. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not leaving the religion into the hands of the Jahil Shak people. So in all times Allah has His own arrangements for providing us those who have the ma'rifat and irfan and yaqeen on the path and the hadith, guide and to protect the religion. So we have the fourth point, which is Asrul Hawa, the slavery of the desires, and that's inshallah will take us some more longer time. So inshallah we will discuss it in the next Thursday. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين